Welcome to Ski Cap, Hoodie, and Shorts. Today's episode, Greco de Mayo. Welcome to the Ski Cap Hoodie and Shorts podcast. This is your host, Ted Samaras. And today we are talking about Greco de Mayo. And you might be like, well, I've heard of Greco before, like Greco-Roman wrestling. I've heard of Cinco de Mayo. But what is Greco de Mayo? And here, this year, we have a cool mashup where Greek Easter, Greek Orthodox Easter, Eastern Orthodox Easter, and Cinco de Mayo actually fall on the same date. This year, Greek Easter is very late. Once every 4 years, it falls like 5 weeks after the Catholic Easter. So generally, when you hear people saying how early Catholic or regular Easter is, because it's like at end of March, that is the year usually when the Greek Easter is very late. So once every 4 years, I believe, Greek Easter falls on the same date as regular Easter. And then the other two times, like I think it falls 1 week after. But every 4 years you get something like this where it falls late. And this year is really, really late, which is why we wanted to take advantage of it. And so whenever you can bring two great cultures together, both the Greek culture and the Mexican culture, that means it's time to eat. So with that, you know, I've been thinking about, well, you know, you were going to have, you know, probably some traditional stuff out for, you know, Greek Easter. But, you know, I'm not the, you know, I'm not the type of guy who's like, you know, outside in the backyard, like, you know, having a whole lamb on a spit and sitting there and turning it, you know, from like pictures from like the 19th century in Greece. That's not how it works in my house. So we'll probably, you know, have some traditional fare, but also want to celebrate, you know, something that we can't normally celebrate, which is Greek Easter and Cinco de Mayo at the same time. So I thought that we would talk about maybe just five quick ideas where we could talk about Greek-Mexican fusion. And before you say, wait, that makes sense, like a mashup between Greek food and Mexican food? Yeah, there are a lot of similarities, starting with the oregano, right? They have a little different flavor profile, but, you know, there's Greek oregano, there's Mexican oregano, and so, you know, that's one of the things that they share, you know, aside from a lot of other flavors as well. Don't feel like you need either ones. Whatever store-bought oregano you have is fine. But yeah, it's just like, you know, you go to like an Asian fusion place or Tex-Mex. Anytime you could bring like two or three great cultures together, you really could come up with not only honoring the flavors that are there, but also with those combinations, really creating new ones. So here are my five ideas for Greek-Mexican fusion for Greco de Mayo. So I wanted to start out with something that would actually make sense for you. And I was thinking about lamb tacos. Now, for me, I have given up red meat. I've given up chicken, pork, etc. So I guess I'm a pescatarian, but I also do a little bit of dairy, eat eggs, that whole thing, eat fish. But I've given up the red meat and the pork and the chicken. However, lamb is a staple when it comes to, you know, Greek Easter. And so I thought it would be great to consider lamb tacos. You know, they'd be really fun to make. You get the soft taco shells, You use hard taco if you want to. But there are so many great flavors that you can put together in a taco. And the taco is such a great and welcoming vessel for different flavors. So by spicing the lamb up in more of a Greek way, so you're talking about like a little olive oil, a little oregano, a little lemon, a little salt, a little pepper, you know, and you can really roast that lamb well. Again, it doesn't have to be a whole lamb on a spit. You know, you can even get lamb chops or ground lamb, however you want to do it. But, you know, flavor that up Greek style, and then you have the way, you know, you have the Mexican taco to bring in that culture. You can top it however you want to. You could top it with like a Greek salad type of thing with like a little bit of lettuce, olive, etc. Or you can, you know, top it, you know, however you want to. Maybe like some crunchy cabbage. You could do something like that, so you're still getting that earthy type of, you know, vegetable in there, some onions. So it almost comes across a little bit like a gyro or a souvlaki too. So, you know, the first one I was thinking of is just lamb tacos, and that's a nice kind of gateway to get you into some stuff. The second one I was thinking of, I tried to think of it as, what could I take in a culture and then deconstruct and add things from the other culture? So for the second one, I was thinking of something really popular in the Greek culture, which is a spinach pie or spanakopita, or you can use the cheese pie, which is taropita. But basically what you have is you have like, you know, spinach and cheese, you know, if you use the feta, and some other flavoring, and you basically have it between phyllo. So it makes like that little phyllo square with that filling. The taropita would be with the cheese. So I was thinking what might be nice is to give it like a kind of a Mexican kick is, again, you know, if you're eating meat and if not, you don't have to do this, right? But maybe filling the phyllo dough with chorizo. And I thought that would give it like, you know, that really would scream to me, hey, this is going to be spicier than if I was having Greek, but I still have my phyllo dough. Again, if you want to kind of do something else where you don't want to use meat, you know, if you don't want to use like the spicy sausage type of meat here, what you could do is you can use some Mexican cheeses, right? So, you know, you can use some Oaxacan cheese or something like that that will get nice and creamy with whatever vegetable you use, etc. But the idea is that kind of like with the lamb tacos where, you know, it was the Mexican vessel that was now providing the Greek flavors. This is a flip of it where now you basically have the Greek phyllo providing you the Mexican flavors. A third thing that I thought of too was, you know, both Mexico and Greece have a lot of areas where the sea is celebrated, right? And so what I was thinking was here is that you could use shrimp if you wanted to, or if you're looking for like more of a main dish kind of thing for like a Greek Easter or like for a dinner party or something like that, you could use like whole fish, like a branzino, or something like that. And so what you can do is you can have that, but maybe you can have like Mexican flavors in there. So you can have kind of like a cumin rub or something like that where you're actually flavoring the fish or flavoring the shrimp with some, you know, with some Mexican spices, right? Instead of just the traditional, you know, oil and lemon, that type of thing. And then what you would do is, though, is that so you have that Mexican flavored either fish or shrimp, but then you would serve it with a rice pilaf rather than like a traditional, like Mexican, like the when they give you like the red rice that's a little, you know, got a little tomato flavor or like a yellow rice. You could use like a Greek rice pilaf, which will be a little more buttery. And it will have a little bit of lemon, maybe a little bit of parsley in there, depending on how you make your pilaf, maybe even like a little sauteed onion. And so now you've got side by side where you have the Mexican flavors, you also have the Greek flavors. But what's nice is too, is that like you are celebrating, like, you know, it takes you more away from the Greek mountains and to the Greek islands, or it takes you away from like, you know, more central Mexico and takes you to the coast. So now you're thinking of like, you know, Santorini and islands like that in Greece, or you're thinking of the Baja or Veracruz style Mexican dishes, you know, that use seafood. And on top of it, as always, right, it's always nice to have like a fresh salad on top. So you can choose, you know, do I go Mexican here and go with more of a like a salsa style, which would be really nice here. Or you can go with like kind of like like a mountain island salad from Greece. Again, both of them will have like a little bit of tomato, a little bit of onion, and then you can kind of add how you want to. If you want to make it more Mexican style, you may want to add a little bit of jalapeno in the salsa. If you want to make it more Greek style, you can add olive or something like that. But this is a nice way to kind of be able to bring the two together and celebrate areas that may be different from where like Athens or Mexico City are. You know, get out to the islands, get out to the water, get out to the sea. The fourth thing on the list that I wanted to make mention of, and if you are listening and you are younger than 21, you cannot try this. But I know that occasionally that adults who are over 21 do like to have an occasional drink for Cinco de Mayo. So, and I know like either Corona is popular or, tequila or things like that. So what you can do is if you are going to drink, and I don't drink, so I'm not promoting it, but since I know there may be a few of you who do to celebrate either holiday, you can consider using ouzo, which is a Greek liqueur. It looks like vodka because it's clear, but it kind of has like a licorice taste to it, right? If you put it on the rocks, right, because it's usually served really cold, that will probably be how it's best. But to break up that kind of, straight licorice type flavor, I've seen cocktails where they're made now with lemon just to kind of give it kind of a modern feel. So I was thinking now maybe what you can do is to kind of give it that kind of Greek-Mexican fusion. You may want to have like ouzo on the rocks with lime and just make sure that ouzo is very cold and that lime is very juicy and fresh. And then you have that, so it kind of, brings that like licorice flavor, but it kind of tones it down with the citrus, but at the same time doesn't make it, like a fruit punch or something like that. All right, again, that's only for adults over 21 if you are going to be trying that. Finally, I figured you'd want to top this off with dessert, and both in Mexican culture and especially Greek culture, there are tons and tons of great desserts. So one of them that I've seen in the Mexican restaurants that I was always fond of is fried ice cream. Where it's almost like, you get like that scoop of vanilla ice cream and then you get that like, like that honey, like thin dough on top of it. The kind of, it's like it gets baked on top. And so what I thought was is that rather than just go with the straight fried ice cream and make it, just Mexican, this would be a beautiful opportunity where you could go ahead and take that vanilla ice cream and have it in a style of the fried ice cream by deconstructing a Greek pastry such as baklava, which is with the phyllo and the nuts and the honey. Or you can use something called kadayifi, which is basically if you could picture shredded wheat being wrapped around those same nuts from the baklava. Generally, the top stays a little bit drier and the honey settles to the bottom. But if you were to deconstruct either one of those and then go ahead and put them on top of vanilla ice cream and maybe just give them like either a quick shot in the oven or a quick shot in the microwave, like not even 10 seconds because you don't want to, melt the cold ice cream, but just to kind of give it that, to kind of give it that finish that it's baked, you can go ahead and do that. And I think that would be a nice cap and a nice sweet cap for highlighting the Greek pastries, but with the Mexican style. And then go from there. One other thing, I'll give you a bonus one too with the desserts, is I know flan is a very big deal in Mexico. And so what you can do is too, you can kind of have it where you have like a piece of galacta burrico, which is a Greek pastry that is phyllo dough with honey, but it's stuffed with like a sweet cream. So you could think about maybe like, baking a flan, but then serving it on like a bed of like honey covered phyllo dough. So this way it's like a deconstructed galacta burrico with some Mexican flavors. So there's a bonus dessert for you too. So I hope you enjoyed some of those thought starters. Again, they're definitely thought starters. But before we go any further, since there was food involved in this recipe kind of episode for Greco de Mayo, in the words of my dad, God bless America, let's eat. And now, and so with that, as always, I look forward to your feedback you know, to make this podcast go. It always works better with your feedback. And, you know, I especially get a kick out of hearing some of the creations you come up with these kind of mashup shows or fusion shows when we talk about recipes. So if you want to reach out to me, if you want to go to the main website of the show, it's www.skicaphoodieandshorts.com. If you want to go to my main website that has not only a link to this podcast, but some of the other great work that I do, with some wonderful educators from around the world, you can go to my website, which is www.ourtechcoach.com. If you are looking for me on social media, if you go to Twitter/X, you can find me there at @ourtechcoach. If you're looking for me on LinkedIn or Instagram, you will find me at ted.samaras. So again, thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a safe and healthy Greco de Mayo coming up. I hope you take the time to recognize both of these beautiful cultures and both of these beautiful food cultures and go ahead and try to mash them up. And so with that, as always, please be good to yourself and be yourself.